Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Bet $50 at WinBet and get $200 in free bets. Bet big and win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit WynNBet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their over-under game. Just head on over to Sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit of up to $100. That's Sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to download the SGPN app. It's your home for all of our free picks and podcasts.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We're up to episode 158 now. Hopefully you've listened to every episode. If not, go back in the archives and listen to every episode. You'll hear how we started off 2021 in a hole, and then we dug our way out, and we were amazing by the end of the year, and we just kept on being amazing into this year. So thank you for coming to the podcast. I'm going to call a truce and dedicate this episode to Talon Jenkins, of one of the hosts of the Hockey Gambling Podcast. We started a little feud because he was making fun of me being old, and I fought back. But hearing his retorts on that podcast, I realized I'm punching down in this fight. I thought he was wittier and quicker on his feet with the insults, but he's really not. And I don't want to punch down. And his co-host Joel's too inebriated ever to fight back. And then the other host, the baby giraffe, who hates drafts, who's going to fight a draft. So I'm calling a truce with the Hockey Gambling Podcast. Everyone should listen to it. And no more. No, I won't pick on them anymore. I kind of promise. So that's who this episode 158 is going out to. Who am I making all these proclamations? I'm the one who Talon calls the old gray bush, Jeff Fox, the host of the MMA Gambling Podcast, the mighty, mighty MMA Gambling Podcast that you are tuned into to get winning MMA picks and fun banter, sometimes jokes that land, sometimes more often than not jokes that don't land, but hey, that's what you're here for. So this episode we are breaking down this Saturday's UFC fight night card. We're doing the main card portion, and we're giving you props, parlays, recommended plays, all that stuff. Lots of stuff that starts with the letter P. If you're looking for another P word, the prelims, that was the last episode. So go back one episode in your feed to 157. And that's where we gave you our prelim picks. We actually, of the six fights, a couple of them we didn't agree on. So if you want to hear mom and dad disagree, then go back on that podcast. So who is the mom of this podcast? So that'll be the person I'm going to introduce now. The Gumby God, the one and only Daniel Vreeland. Hello.
So I got to ask, because you said the words punching down about 30 yes. times there. Is that a stab that he's much shorter than you?
Well, who isn't? Baby Giraffe isn't. Baby Giraffe obviously is taller than me because he's a baby giraffe, but I'm pretty sure he is shorter than 6'6". So yes, I would think he's, but I was thinking more into intellectually and whatnot. But okay. He's from Toronto, so what do you expect, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course, you want to take the Americans all day.
Exactly, exactly. So, all right, we got another fight card to break down. We got the other half of the fight card. Last episode, as I said, we did the first half. This episode, we are going to do the other half. It's actually, usually it's loaded in the prelims, so we have more prelims to break down, but this week it's actually even 6-6. Six on the main card, six on the prelims. And that is Zarukian versus Gamrot, which will be this Saturday night from the UFC Apex. Main card is going to be 10 o'clock, I believe. Yeah, we're back to the late episodes of this show, unfortunately. 10 p.m. Eastern is, and it's a six-fight main card, so this is going to go all night, isn't it, Dan?
Yeah, it's going to be a late one. And you know, I'm going to spoil something real quick. I think this main event's going to decision, too.
Yes, it very well could. It very well could. So, all right, before we dive into that, let me tell you about a couple of our lovely sponsors here. Like Win, make sure to get down on the Win's Bet $50 Win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. Plus, they have the ultimate fantasy football experience right now. Bet $500 or more on sports or casino before July 31st of this year. Get entered to win the ultimate fantasy football draft experience at Encore Beach Club, including a two-night stay at Wynn Resorts. Fueling your entire league, multiple entries are allowed. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit wynnbet.com to get started. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at wynnbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Now on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there. I use it for all of mine, and it's a game-changing product unlike anything else in the industry. And now you can make money on Sleeper too by playing their new over-under game. It's super simple. First in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over-under. For example, number of points in basketball or hits in baseball. And then choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the money you put in. The main reason I'm excited about over-under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contests and play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with a tap of a button. It's insanely fun to ride it out together. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new over-under game. Have fun with your friends and make some money with picks from Dan for Friday's action. Do you have some picks for Friday's action, Dan?
Sure. I'll just take, I didn't prep this ahead of time because I already gave you one in the last episode. And for some reason, I only prepped one because I forgot we taped two episodes in a row now.
No, we don't.
That's right.
This is a totally separate day.
I mean, we do these 5 seconds live before we post them, always live. Yes. But that being said, after seeing the debut and many other games by O'Neal Cruz, I'll just take the over on his hits. That dude looked like an absolute grown ass man in his debut this year. It's hard to say debut because he did play a little bit last year, but 2 for 5 with a double that he got caught trying to stretch into a triple. Another nice single before that too. He looks like the real deal, and he's playing defense like a beast. So. I'll take the over on O'Neal Cruz hits.
I wish I had him in fantasy, but I don't. People got in on him before I did. But all right, you can get in on him on Sleeper on the over-under game. So take Dan's advice. Go over to that mobile phone of yours, which you're probably listening to us on right now. Join our listener group on Sleeper at sleeper.com/SGP, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's right. Join our squad and get the 100% deposit match at sleeper.com/SGP. Terms and conditions apply. Terms of use are at sleeper.com. You can see this terms and conditions over there for details. All right. Let's go. Main card portion of this here fight night. Like I said, UFC Apex, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. ESPN is what the main card is on. If you miss the prelims, it's 7 p.m. start time, ESPN2. For that one, listen to our last podcast. We will give you all the winning picks there, except for the ones where Dan made a wrong pick in, which I made the correct pick in. But you'll be able to tell which one's which. Middleweights, we'll start with Chris Curtis versus Rodolfo Vieira. We'll start with a black belt hunter, Rodolfo Vieira. He's 8-1 with 1 knockout, 7 submissions. So he's finished all of his opponents. He's 3-1 in the UFC, won his last fight via submission. He used to fight up at light heavyweight. He's multiple BJJ champion, very high level champion in BJJ. Not like these little tournaments that Gumby wins. These are real ones, right?
They are slightly higher than the jiu-jitsu championships I've won. Yes, correct. Yes,
okay, that's what I thought. All right, good. He's 2 inches taller than Curtis, 2 years younger. He's been outstruck by 1.44 strikes per minute in the UFC over his career, so he has a negative 1.44 strike differential. Grappling stats are in his favor, not surprisingly, plus 128. Chris Curtis, the action man. He's 28-8, 16 knockouts, one submission. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. He's taken the UFC by storm, going 2-0, both of his fights ending via knockout slash TKO. He's won seven straight, so the UFC is just part of a seven-fight winning streak, including a win on the Contender Series. He went 1-3 in PFL, so PFL obviously is better than the UFC. I think that's how that MMA math works out. He made his pro MMA debut in 2010. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Perfect. That's correct. 2 inches of reach over Vieira. He's almost three times more active landing strikes, 2.8 times more active landing strikes in the UFC. He's got a strike differential of a positive one. He outstrikes his opponents in the UFC by and on Contender Series by about half a strike, 0.57 strikes per minute, minus 155 to come back on him. You want to go first?
I think you went first last time, so I think you should keep that trend going.
Okay, I'm taking Action Man. I'm going to take Action Man until the wheels fall off on this. I think he can handle Vieira here. Hopefully he can, obviously if he can keep it standing, then the fight is going to be his, but I think he can do it. I like what I've seen from him. So let's give me Action Man, please. I wish it was plus money, the minus 155.
Well, you could add him on plus money last time. And I even told you to take him over Brendan right. Allen last time.
Yep.
And you doubted me. Well, it's good to see that you're on the bandwagon with him because I'm also taking Chris Curtis.
All right, good.
I just think so. Rodolfo Vieira is like you said, an amazing grappler. He's phenomenal on the mat. I just think he's going to be so outmatched on the feet here. Yeah. And it's not like Chris Curtis has any question about what Rodolfo is going to do here. Right. Rodolfo's coming to take him down, and if he's not. It's the worst fight IQ I've ever seen because he's not a better boxer than him. That being said, Rodolfo did look better boxing last time out, but he was also fighting Dustin Stoltzfus, which is not Chris Curtis, if you didn't know already. I think Chris Curtis blasts him on the feet, unless he's like shooting desperate takedowns. And even then, I think Curtis just survives enough, tires him out, and blasts him because he's got great power and surprisingly good takedown defense too, as Brendan Allen found out the hard way.
Yes, that's what I was hoping, that the takedown defense would hold up here. So fingers crossed it will. All right. Down to bantamweights. Nate Maness versus Umar Nurmagomedov. Dan hinted earlier a couple episodes ago that Nate Maness is great value here. That's let me give you all the info on the fight, and we'll see if Dan's a brave enough man to actually pull the trigger on this one. Mayhem. Nate Maness, 14-1, 5 knockouts, 3 submissions. He has been knocked out once. That's the one time that he lost. He's 3-0 in the UFC. Last two fights, he's won via finish. He's won 4 straight fights. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Yes, he has a mantle also. You are correct. He used to fight up at featherweight. He used to fight up at lightweight. He's got 2 inches of height, 3 inches of reach on Nurmagomedov. He's been outstruck by 1.85 strikes per minute in the UFC. Plus 550 is the number coming back on him. Nurmagomedov, 14-0, 1 knockout, 7 submissions. 2-0 in the UFC, both of his wins via submission. He's won 3 straight fights via submission. He's went 2-0 in PFL. He used to fight at featherweight as well. He's a regional champion, or was a regional champion. He's 5 years younger, striking and active striking stats in his favor. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by almost 3 strikes per minute, 2.94 strikes per minute. Minus 800. Dan, I know, okay. I know you don't like the line, but are you brave enough to pull the trigger here?
I'm brave enough to pull the trigger here, but mostly just, you know, like two things here. First of all, I think Nate Maness is a pretty damn good wrestler. And like from the standpoint of being able to take punches too, like he took literally the best punch that Tony Gravely could throw. And as we've seen with Tony Gravely and what he did to Johnny Munoz and what he did to like Anthony Burchak and like what he did to Ray Rodriguez, like that is not easy to take big Tony Gravely punches. It's really not easy. And not only did Nate Maness do that, but then Nate Maness finished him with punches Nate Maniz is also like, I mean, he's got takedowns of his own. I don't necessarily see him going, you know, like to take down Umar Nurmagomedov here, but I think his wrestling is good enough to keep this fight on the feet if that's what he wants. And yeah, dude, like I think ultimately just like this is downright disrespectful to see him at, what'd you say, plus 650?
550.
550 you're quoting him at? All right. So I've seen him as high as 600, 650. Wouldn't be surprised to see it go back up by fight time, but still 550, I'd still take a stab at him there. I think it's worth it. You know, like just even just like a really small play is worth your time here. So yeah, I'm going to go with Nate Maniz here. I'd say that I just think he could turn this into something gritty and win a decision there.
See, it's picks like this that make Dan popular within the Slack, but the odds makers normally aren't this far off. So I will be going chalk. Shockingly, Nurmagomedov is the pick minus 800 for me. Even though I agree with what you're saying, Maniz is a good fighter. Probably the line doesn't reflect how good he really is, but still, I don't think he's going to win the fight, so I will not be picking him. So let's move on to lightweights. Thiago Moises versus Christos Giagos. We'll tell you about the Spartan. Giagos first, 19-9, 7 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 4 times. 5-5 in the UFC over 2 stints. He's gone 2-2 over his last 4. Lost his last fight via TKO. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
People, there's a lot of mantles. A lot of mantles on these fighters have this week. 2010 was his pro MMA debut. He's inch height, inch reach over Moises. Striking and active striking stats in his favor. He's been outstruck by 0.05 strikes per minute. So pretty much it's a wash over his UFC career. He gives out as much as he takes. And he is plus 195. Moises, 15-6, 3 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 4-4 in the UFC. He lost 2 straight fights. He's been finished in both those fights. 1-0 on the Contender Series. He was the RFA champ. He used to fight up at featherweight or down at featherweight. This is lightweight, right? Yes. Down at featherweight. 2012 was his pro MMA debut. 5 years younger. He's been outstruck by 1.6 strikes per minute, minus 240. I was thinking Giagos, and then I dove into it some more today. And yeah, I just like Moises' resume more in this fight. So I will be making a classic Jeff Chalks Fox pick, and I'll be taking the chalk here.
I think you're making a right move because Giagos likes to wrestle, and like you're not going to out grapple Thiago Moises.
That's not a good idea.
Yeah, it's an awful idea. And Moises also showed that he can box a little bit and maybe more than like people remember, because I don't know if you remember his fight with Bobby Green. He actually arguably beat Bobby Green on the feet more than he beat him on the mat. So, like, yeah, I like Thiago Moises here. I actually think he's probably going to sub him. Thiago Moises is a really good jiu-jitsu specialist. But I will say this. I'm going to take a slight detour here. You mentioned the resume. I have to say, I went back and looked at Christos or Giagos' resume before we started recording. Dude, this dude has some of the craziest UFC losses in history. So he got released at 1-3. Back in 2014 to 2016, he was in the UFC. They released him after going 1-3. Listen to these losses. So first of all, he beat Jorge de Oliveira, who I surprisingly can't tell you anything about. But then the losses are to Gilbert Burns, Chris Wade, who's, you know, doing pretty good things on PFL right now, and Josh Emmett, which is a crazy run of opponents.
Yeah.
Then he comes back to the UFC. Do you remember he got invited back to the UFC in 2018? Do you know who he got his first fight back? Charles Oliveira.
Yes. Right,
Charles
right.
Oliveira. He fought on short notice to come back. And then losses to Drakkar Klose. And he just fought Almarn Sakurian. So, like, who's main eventing this week. So, he has fought an insane list of people who he's lost to. Now, that being said, the people who he's beaten are pretty terrible. Like
that
Sean
was what swayed me. Yeah.
Yeah. He beat Sean Soriano and Carlton Minus, who, you know, those are his last 2 wins. They may be 2 of the worst dudes who I've seen in the UFC. Like, what did Soriano go? It was Owen a big number though. He was Owen 2 his last.
Yeah, five stint. Or something was best.
Owen 2 in his last stint. And then I think it was 0-3 his first stint. Yeah,
yeah, like he's, I thought he was 0-5.
Yeah, so Iago's not great wins, but good losses, I will say. Yes. But yeah, no, I think he's just going to get outclassed on the mat here against Thiago Moises. I don't think he's a better striker than Thiago Moises. I think Thiago Moises gets a sub when Iago's gets desperate shooting too.
There, oh, we may have a prop play coming up. You have to stick around to the end for that. First, I'm going to tell you about Trade Coffee. Trade Coffee connects customers to the freshest and best tasting coffee they've ever made at home by partnering with the country's best craft roasters. These are independent businesses from big cities and small towns. Trade customers are truly impactful for these independent roasters, often being their largest source of new growth for them. Expert taste of coffee we're talking about here. Trade's coffee team actually taste tests thousands of coffees to keep 450 different kinds live and ready to ship every day. There's no one perfect coffee, but there is a perfect coffee for you, and Trade's human-powered algorithm will find it. Trade's first match guarantee. Trade is so confident they'll match you right the first time that if they don't, they'll take your feedback, and an actual coffee expert. That's an actual job. A coffee expert will work with you to send you a brand new bag for free. Trade Coffee sends you freshly roasted beans from 60 of the country's best craft roasters, small businesses who pay farmers fair prices to sustainably source the greatest beans from around the world. So here's what you should do right now. Trade is offering new subscribers a total of $30 off your first order plus free shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/SGP. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Get started by taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/SGP and let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/SGP for $30 off. And when you're doing that, make sure you go to IP Vanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IP Vanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IP Vanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IP Vanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IP Vanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IP Vanish. IP Vanish is offering an incredible third 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IP Vanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. We got some chunky guys, Dan.
I was just gonna say, we've been missing them.
You're the SGPN MMA Twitter feed promises chunky guys, and finally we have some.
We delivered.
It's been a long time, but we have Josh Parisian versus Alan Bodeau. One of the fights on this card, like, I don't want to pick a winner for, Dan. There was a few. I think there was some on the prelims too. I can't remember which ones. Like, do I really have to pick a winner here?
Hot take, I have very strong feelings about this one.
Oh, maybe you'll sway me because I don't. I've made my decision, but
it's your turn to go first though. Is it?
Oh, it's true. All right, that's fine. This is pretty much a pick 'em on the board. That's probably why I had issues with it possibly. But let's tell you about Josh Parisian. 14-5, 10 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. He's 1-2 in the UFC. He's gone loss, win, loss. He got TKO'd his last fight. He's gone 2-0 on the Contender Series. He was 0-1 on the Ultimate Fighter, was a regional champion. He's got inch height on Bodeau. He's a year younger. He's been barely outstruck. Minus 0.02 strikes per minute is his strike differential. So basically even. Grappling stats in his favor, minus 105. Bodeau is the Black Samurai, in case you wondered. He's 8-3 with one knockout, one no-show. You're getting late in the show and daddy's messing up all his words again. 8-3, one no contest, 7 knockouts. He's gone 0-2 with one no contest in the UFC. Really, that's 0-3 because the fight he lost the fight that got overturned into a no contest. His last win was back in April 2019. He was the regional champion, used to fight at light heavyweight. Striking and active striking stats in his favor. He's got a positive strike differential despite losing all of his UFC fights of 0.44. Minus 115 on him. I think I've gone on the wrong side, but I'm taking Bordeaux. Based, it always comes down the final. If I can't pick a fight, I always end up compared to Razmaiz. I, despite his losses, I like his level of competition better. But this one's not one I want to pick a winner on. But I will take the Black Samurai at -115.
Yeah, I mean, like, first of all, they both fought Parker Porter.
Right.
Yeah, and then obviously Bordeaux's loss to Tom Aspinall age as well. And then the loss to Rodrigo Nascimento, you know, gets washed to a no contest because Nascimento was on the juice. I will also say this, you know, you mentioned the one win by Josh Parisian, not a win. He lost that fight to Roque Martinez. I don't know how the judges scored that fight for Josh Parisian.
They're both 0-3.
Yeah, like, you know, if we want to play revisionist history, they both have not put in a winning performance. The loser's clearly going home here. I'm also going Bordeaux, though.
Okay.
Yeah, good. Yeah, like, I know you think you were coming down on the wrong side.
Yes.
But, like, if you watch a whole bunch of his earlier fights, I mean, like, he's got really good hands. He's
a samurai. Throws,
yeah, I mean, like, he throws really well. Like, the
he
30...
said yeah to that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course, he's a Black Samurai. the 30 seconds he fought with Dulce Lugiambula is, like, 30 of the most hectic seconds you've ever seen in your life because both of them are throwing so hard and so fast, and the one who landed was Dulce, and it could have been the other way around. You know, he knocked out tons of people early in his career. Hasn't been as lucky here in the UFC, but again, you know, take some context there. Parker Porter takes a punch really well and is really technical and smart and wears you out. Tom Aspinall just took him down and grounded pounded him, but he did that to Alexander Volkov too. Parisian, not super technical. I mean, he like famously got his contract through the Contender Series by throwing like 7 straight spinning, spinning back kicks to the body. And then when all of those proceeded to suck and fail, he faked the spinning back kick to the body and threw a spinning back fist to win. It was just like the sloppiest shit you've ever seen, and it worked. But it ain't gonna work against a guy like Bordeaux, who actually has surprisingly good kickboxing. I think Bordeaux's gonna knock him out here too. That's Ooh, another thing I think in this fight.
Another hot take. He is a samurai. He's a Black Samurai after all. So who is the other guy he lost to? Because he lost to Porter.
Aspinall,
he lost
Porter,
to...
and Rodrigo Nascimento, the okay, guy who popped hot in USADA.
Yeah, anyhow, Porter and Aspinall, no shame in those losses, and then he lost to a cheater. So pretty decent. So, all right, we're on the same side. See if we're on the same side here. This is I like this fight. I like the last two fights. So good matchmaking here. Welterweights, Neil Magny versus Shavkat Rakhimov. Seems like we haven't seen him for a while. When was his last fight? Do you remember off the top of your head?
Shavkat? Not that long ago.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he fought like real recently, if I'm not mistaken, really? Right? Didn't he knock out Carlton Harris with like some spinning shit?
Everything's spinning nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah.
Shavkat, you're right. February 5th. All right.
Yeah, yeah, not that long ago.
Spinning hook, kick, and punches, ago. See?
Yeah, spinning shit. Not... I think I said spinning shit.
You did. That's what it says in Wikipedia brackets. Yeah, maybe I just want to see more of him, Dan. Maybe that's it. He is a fun one. All right, let's tell you about the Haitian sensation first. That would be, what if his nicknames were switched around and Rakhimov was the Haitian sensation and Magny was Nomad?
Confusing at best. Yeah,
very confusing. All right, Neil Magny, the Haitian sensation, 26-8, 7 knockouts, 3 submissions. Been knocked out twice, submitted 4 times, 19-7 in the UFC. He's been around for a little bit. He's won 2 straight and 5 of his last 6, so he's not slowing down as of yet. He went 3-1 in the Ultimate Fighter, used to fight at middleweight, pro MMA debut 2010, 2 inches height, 3 inches of reach on Rakhimov. Usually Magny has more size than that on people, but not in this case. More active striker of the two men. He's got a positive strike differential over his UFC career, which is very impressive, of 1.5 strikes per minute. And he's at +290. Despite all of that glowing resume, he's getting it's +290 for him. All right, Nomad Rakhimov, 15-0. Maybe that's why. He's 8 knockouts, 7 submissions. So he's finished every one of his fights very evenly too. Knockouts and submissions. 3-0 in the UFC. All of his wins have come via finish, of course. He was the M1 champ. He was also the KZMMAF champ. That's one of Dan's favorite fight leagues, right?
KFC
KFC, that's the chicken place. KZ MMAF.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
Kazakhstan MMA Federation. Let's say it's that. Is he from Kazakhstan?
Yeah, he is. He's Kazakhstan.
I could be right. Wow. He's 7 years younger than Magny. Striking stats in his favor. He also outstrikes his opponents. He's at plus 1.38 strikes per minute, minus 375. This would be you.
I'm thinking Shavkat Rakhmonov.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, I'll say this too. I don't love the number on this one. No. And I'm a big Shavkat Rakhmonov guy. I've been singing his praises since they signed the guy. But like, this is a steep step up for him, right? Like Carlston Harris, you know, like a dangerous power puncher, but not a guy who puts together like a full and complete kind of fight. And that's what Neil Magny does, right? Like Shavkat Rakhmonov can't go into this being the guy who's just like, oh, I just have to like survive his onslaught and hit mine. Instead, this is like, I'm gonna have to put in a great performance. But I think he can do it, right? Like, I think he's the type of guy who has, you know, I mean, he's got a lot of experience if you go back, you know, not just the fact that he's 15-0, but, you know, like you go back and see the type of people he's beat in the regional circuit. Like he's been fighting guys with like 20 fights since his like first or second fight as a pro. You know, like he's got a lot of experience and a lot of experienced opponents in M1. You know, he's gone deep into fights, although, you know, he's not typically or ever, unless you have to go back and do his amateur days, ever gone to the distance. So, yeah, like I just think
spinning stuff.
He does do spinning shit. But I just think he's going to be too much here for Neil Magny. And I love Neil Magny. But like the lack of a big reach advantage, I think is going to harm him here.
Yeah. Like I said, Magny usually has a huge advantage over people. 3 inches is, it's, you know, it's nothing to sneeze at, but, yeah, I'm going Rakhmonov too. This is I'm glad to see he's getting a real nice step up in competition here, because this could propel him even higher up. But yeah, I just think he's too good. He's one of the guys I'm going to probably ride until the wheels fall off, or until he gets that prospect loss, and then we'll think about it. So he is the pick here. Have we agreed on everything in this? No. Madison.
No, I think
you went silly on me.
Yeah, and you're gonna go ahead and win your $12.
Yes. All right. My $12, correct. All right, let's go into the main card. Main event, not just main card. Main event. Another very nice matchup between a couple of, usually we don't like seeing prospects matched up, like top prospects match up together, young ones, but these guys are actually already, where are they ranked right now? Do you know off the top of your head?
I want to say 10 and 11 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, they're already up there, so that's okay.
And once
they're up that high, you've got to match them up.
I will also just say too, as far as these guys being like quote unquote prospects, they are some of the most traveled prospects in history, right? Because like, you know, they both have 20 plus fights. You know, like one of them was a KSW champ, which is, you know, a massive organization. So like they've been around. Also, I looked it up while I was stalling talking. They're 11 and 12.
Okay. 11 and 12. Okay. Let me tell you about them. Matthias Gamrot, the gamer, 20-1 is his record with one no contest, 7 knockouts, 5 submissions, never been finished in a fight in 22 pro fights, 3-1 in the UFC, including 3 straight. He lost his debut. He's won all of his UFC fights via finish. He was a KSW champ twice. Was he a KSW champ twice or in 2 different weight classes? Do you know off the top of your head?
2 different weight classes.
Yeah,
I think he was 45 and 55, if I'm not mistaken, but I'll get the intern on it while you keep talking.
All right. Beautiful. He's been fighting professionally since 2012 as in MMA. He's a wrestling champ. He's a grappling champ. 3 inches taller than Sarukian. He's outstruck his opponents by just a little over a strike per minute, 1.1 strikes per minute. Grappling stats in his favor as well, plus 200 on him. Sarukian, what's his nickname again? Oh, actually, you're going to tell me about Gamrot first, probably, right?
What were you looking up? No, again? I'm not there. I'm not there yet, but you can go ahead and continue on.
Say Sarukian's nickname for me.
Oh,
Hulkalakits. Hulkalakits.
Oh, yeah, we did this last time. Akala Hulkits.
A-H-A-L-K-A-L-A-K-E-T-S is what it is. We'll just call him Armin Zirkin. 18-2, 7 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out once. He's gone 5-1 in the UFC. He lost his debut and then won five straight. So very similar to Gamrot. Won his last two fights via TKO. He has missed weight in the past. He is a regional champion, or was a regional champion. He used to fight at featherweight. Got 2 inches of reach on Gamrot. He's 6 years younger. Striking stats in his favor. He's outstruck his opponents by 2.39 strikes per minute in the UFC, minus 250. All right, so, Gamrot, was he a featherweight?
Yeah, he went down to featherweight and beat Kleber Herbst for their featherweight belt. So, yes, two divisional champion in addition to lots of impressive wins at lightweight. Is this
I'm
one?
I'm picking first.
This one's on you.
And I'm doing a Dan Vreeland, and I'm taking a plus 200 dog here, Dan.
Yeah, taking, come I'm along for the ride.
I'm taking Gamrot. Obviously, a tough one. Looked into it more. I just like it comes down to often with me is his resume. I like his resume more. I think fighting wise, they're fairly similar, the two of them. Well, look at the records. Records are almost identical. They both have 7 knockouts, both have 5 submissions. But yeah, I just like his the competition he's gone up against a bit more. And I like his the experience he's had. Yeah, like I said, he can strike and grapple. Both men can, but I think it's worth a splash at plus 200. So give me Gamrot.
I agree with you entirely. And like, so for me,
he's gonna more eloquently tell you why we're picking Gamrot.
Yeah, well, I mean, I always do that, but part of what I like about Gamrot is that like he has fought guys in ways that are not necessarily the easiest way to fight a guy, right? Like he went in, he fought Diego Fajeda, and he did it like he went at him on the ground. He attacked him that way. He boxed with Scott Holtzman, which is not what you typically do against Scott Holtzman. And like Arman Tsarkaryan's best win is probably Yoel Alvarez. And it was largely just by being like, okay, Yoel Alvarez lets everybody and their cousin take him down because that's where he wants to be anyway. And then he just like grounded pounded him there and stayed safe. And that's like easier to do than somebody who's going to try to shut down your takedown attempts, which, you know, not that a lot of people have attempted takedowns on Matthews Gamrot, but like Gamrot hasn't allowed a takedown in the UFC yet. You know, and he's fought Diego Fajeda. And, yep. You know, he fought Holtzman and he fought Guam Kutataladze. Like, he has fought some dudes. And, you know, like, I just think his wins, not necessarily, I wouldn't say they're necessarily better wins. Although, I guess Diego Fajeda is a better win than Yoel Alvarez. So, they are better wins. But in addition to better wins, I also feel like they've just, like, revealed more about him for me. And, you know, like, The losses have both been kind of, you know, one of them was a clear loss for Arman Tsarukyan, but it was to Islam Makhachev. And I didn't think Gamrot lost that fight to Kutataladze. It's funny because I was just banging on the drum of Kutataladze getting screwed out of a victory last weekend. And I think he got gifted one in his first fight. So there's an example of the MMA gods giveth and taketh away. But yeah, like I think, you know, you hit the nail right on the head there. I think Gamrot's wins just tell us more and show us more about what he is. And at the end of the day, if we're wrong about that, like he is worth every penny of a plus 200 play.
Yep. We shall see. Take a big swing on things. Like I said, I have a little bit of Dan's rubbing off on me. Apparently I'm definitely rubbing off on him. He's definitely, not as good of a person as he was, excuse me, as he was before he hooked up with me on this podcast. But yeah, apparently he's making me pick plus 200 dogs too. So there you go. Boom. That's the card, but we are not done. We have our recommended plays. We'll let Daniel go first.
Ooh, man, putting me.
But this is a surprise. We do this every podcast.
No, I knew, but I was sleeping at the wheel, I think.
Gosh.
I'm going to start with, I'll start with $30 on Mario Bautista. I think Mario Bautista's and what are we getting for that number there?
Minus 160.
Yeah, I think for a Mario Bautista win here over Brian Kelleher, 160 is a good price.
Be 30 on Rakhmonov, minus 375.
Okay, I'm gonna go 30 again here, this time on I'll take Chris Curtis to beat Rodolfo Vieira. I like that that number again, chilling right around 160. And I think he gets the job done.
I am going to take. Yeah, I'm going to take the same. I was going to take a bit more money on Curtis, but no, 30 is good. 30 on Curtis, money line over Vieira minus 155.
All right. And I've been alternating back and forth on a couple of these. Do I want to do a whole bunch of slick things, or do I want to do what works?
Do what works, Dan.
Fuck, I hate doing what works. All right, I'll take another 30.
He sure does. Every week he proves that.
I'll take another 30 on Jinyu Fry. I think all she's right. going to mop the floor with Demopolis.
What's the number on her again? 30 on Fry, minus 280. All right, give me... I got $40 left of my pretend money here. Give me 20 on Ahlberg at minus 120.
I like that one. I'm going to spend my last 10, put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to take my last 10 on Nate Maness.
Okay.
Yeah, like, might as well. If I believe in him enough to make the pretend play him, plus 550, it's going to be one of those home run picks.
Wow, it sure would be. Not $10 worth, but I was going to say, could turn things around for you, Dan, but you're going to need more than that to turn things around. All right, who do I have left? Give me 20 on, I like the Fry pick too. So 20 on Fry minus 280. So, all right, recap. Dan, AKA Gumby God, AKA Danny, $30 on Bautista, $30 on Curtis, $30 on Fry, 10 on Nate Maness. And that's all money lines. We both just did money lines here. I think we've been burned by props too many times recently. I got 30 on Rachmaninoff, 30 on Curtis, 20 on Ahlberg, 20 on Fry. Daniel, Gumby, Danny V, do you have a Superfan Jong, Hungry Man Jong parlay that's going to get us big money?
Sure do. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to start with Chris Curtis up against Rodolfo Vieira, but obviously that big, fat, negative 155 line or whatever, not going to get you up to that Hungry Man Jong 10-1 level. So we're going to take Chris Curtis getting it done in the first round. That dude punches so hard. And Brendan Allen survived into the second. But, I mean, like, if you go back and remember his debut, Phil Hawes didn't. So Phil Hawes got put out in the first. So I'll take Chris Curtis in the first round plus 250. And then I hinted at it before that it was a play that I really liked. Thiago Moises wins by submission. If he subs Cristal Thiagos, you're getting 250 on that as well. So if you put those two together, 250 and 250 turns around 1125. I like Chris Curtis in the first and Thiago Moises by submission to get us that 11.25 to 1.
So 11.25 to 1 is what we're doing here.
That's correct.
You always make like good, like they're always like solid, like reasonable choices too.
It doesn't sound crazy ever. No, it never coming. Does. No, we know it's coming.
It's gonna come. Just ride it out with this, people. He hit a 13-1 earlier. He's gonna hit.
You only
11.
Need a couple all year to make
exactly.
it work.
Exactly. All right. Anything else we need to talk about in this card, Dan? Are we good?
No, I think you got it all.
I got it all, and you got it all, Dan. We're family. We both got it all. All right. We'll be back. When we'll be back? It's so hard to remember now. We have so many episodes every week. I think right now we're sticking to our Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday release day. So we'll be back on Sunday, that would mean. What are we going to do on Sunday? We're going to recap this event is what we're going to do. And talk about all the money that we won for you, right? Until then, make sure you listen to Dan's Top Turtle MMA podcast with Vanessa Demopolopolopoulos. And who else is on it?
I also have Mario Bautista on this week.
Oh, there you go. He picked... One of them picked against the other one. So that he's got that. All our writing, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Listen to all the other podcasts, even the hockey gambling podcast. It's like I call it a truce, kind of. Listen to that. You can read my MMA stuff, moneymma.substack.com. And you can follow us. Twitter, SGPNMMA is our account that Dan runs and puts a lot of fun videos and whatnot on there. I am Jeff Fox, writer. He is Gumby Vreeland on Twitter. And I think that is it. So maybe I'll put this one to bed. Me, the old gray bush, Jeff Fox, will bid you farewell until Sunday. I'm saying farewell on my behalf and on Mr. Gumby Vreeland's behalf. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you Sunday. Bye-bye.